May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 728. Strange and mysterious is my life. What opposites I feel within. A stable peace, a constant strife, the rule of grace, the power of sin. Too often I am captive led, yet often triumph in my head. Hymn 728.
To read the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I laboured more abundantly than they all, yet not I, for the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. Almighty, holy, holy, holy Lord God, have mercy on us, we pray, as we meet together around thy word once more for worship. O Lord, thou knowest our unfitness. Lord, we pray, thou hast come over it, that our sufficiency may be of thee this evening. We really need thy help, Lord. Without thee we can do nothing, right? Oh, do enable us. Oh, overcome the sin that does so easily beset us. And deliver us from the weights that do so hinder us. And Lord, do grant thy Spirit to point out thy Son to us, and give us the eye to look unto him. We may run that race set before us with patience. O Lord, do speak to us. Do communicate thy grace to our poor, never dying souls. For sin and Satan daily strive to quench the sacred flame. O Lord, do pardon our transgressions and our iniquities. Forgive us all our sins. For thine own name's sake we pray. O Lord, we ask for thy Spirit to open up the word to us, and open our eyes, Lord, and our hearts to receive it. Oh, may faith be mixed with what we hear, that we be not only hearers of the word, but doers also. Lord, may not duty seem a load, nor worship prove a task. Oh, Lord, do look upon the weary and the heavy laden, and bid them come to thee, and enable them to come for rest. Oh, look upon those who are on a storm-tossed sea. Speak peace, Lord. That the waves may be still. They may be still and know that thou art God. For when thou didst, Lord Jesus, say that word, peace be still, and immediately the waves were calm. They said, truly this is the Son of God. O Lord, make thy power felt and known by us. that we shall say the same. Truly this is the Son of God, it is the Lord. Oh, we do pray to be made right and kept right, to be delivered from every evil way. Search us, Lord, and find out every evil way, and lead us in the way everlasting. Grant thy people, Lord, a crumb tonight from the Master's table, a feast of fat things, wine on the lees well refined, fat things full of marrow. Oh, we do pray to this end for thy blessed Spirit. There will be no feeding by thy people, not even a crumb without thy Spirit. For thou which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that cannot serve God. Oh Lord, we are dependent upon thee entirely. But hast thou not said, Lord Jesus, that thy Father will send the Spirit upon thy people, upon those that ask him, and he will send him in thy name? Oh, for Jesus' sake, Lord, do send thy Spirit down. Lord, that thy dear Son may have his bride, and she may have him, even as thy servant John rejoiced at it. Oh, do favour thy church, either to have the experience themselves, or to rejoice, having had the experience themselves, in seeing others. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But he that standeth by and heareth the voice of the bridegroom rejoiceth greatly because of his voice. Oh, may the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride be heard here tonight. Oh, Lord, do take the widows as thy bride. Those who have lost their first husband. Lord, that holy law of God to which we came into this world wedded unto, oh, may we mercifully be bereaved of that first husband, and we might be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit unto God. Bless this people. Bless them indeed. Bless them, Lord, with salvation, the saving knowledge of thy Son. Lord, where the work is begun, carry it on. Where it is not begun, do begin it. And do make it clear, Lord, by its continuance and its bearing fruit. O Lord, may even tonight there be that bringing to that so critical point. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life and shall not see death. Lord, help us to believe. We cannot of ourselves, but we must. We are then dependent on thee to enable us to. We are shut up unto that faith which is to be revealed. And oh, may it be revealed tonight. May a precious Christ be revealed. May he be extolled. May he be lifted up by thou blessed Spirit. For thou knowest this poor sinner can't do it. Oh, it is only thou, blessed Spirit, can do it. Oh, Lord, blessed Spirit, do thy covenanted work. Do thy promise work. Have not thy people prayed for it, Lord? Thou knowest where there has been a sigh or a groan for the Spirit as they've come in here tonight. Thou didst say, Lord, if a child asks his father a stone, a bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Lord, oh, thou would not give something ill when people ask for something good, for thou art a good God. Oh, we bless thee for thy goodness, which is unsearchable. It is infinite. Help us to believe it. Show us thy goodness, Lord. Let us taste it tonight. We do pray. Oh, thou hast said thou wilt do not this. Thou wilt not do this for thy people's sake. Thou canst not. Thou said thou do it for thine own sake. Oh, do it for us. For thy name's sake we pray. Though our iniquities testify against us, our backslidings are many. Do thou it for thy name's sake. Get to thy great name glory. Dost thou not take pleasure, Lord, in saving sinners? Doth it not please thee above everything else that pleaseth thee? Lord, else, why wouldst thou send thy son to die? And why would that which he did so please thee? If this was not thy greatest pleasure, O Lord, might it please thee to have that pleasure, even in our cases, even over us. Thou hast said, as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so will thy God rejoice over thee. Lord, we do pray to feel it and know it. These are the blessings of God. Oh, pour them out yet. Thou hast done in former days. Oh, do it again, we pray. And thy name shall have all the praise and all the glory. We pray for thy afflicted people. Be very merciful and gracious to them. Wherever it is thy will, heal them. Strengthen, restore. And Lord, thy servants who have been afflicted, who are afflicted, could it please thee to restore them to their labours? With a fresh testimony to preach, having proved thee once again as their faithful God. O Lord, and where thy will is that the affliction must remain, do grant all needed grace and help. Make their bed in their sickness, and from the affliction take the curse. Help those, Lord, that care for the afflicted. Comfort them, Lord, in their griefs as they look on. Strengthen them, Lord, in the additional burden this lays on them, so that they may also prove it to be among the all things that work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And when the hour is near, the life and breath must fail, do thou in all thy grace appear and bid their faith, our faith, prevail. Lord, oh, we do thank thee for thy dear Son. Death would be an utterly hopeless thing had not thy Son lived and died and rose again. Lord, we pray to know it was for us. We also pray for Zion, afflicted, diminished, brought low. Many things, Lord, that grieve thee and grieve thy people. Lord, do have mercy. Forsake us not. Grant us a little reviving. Grant us, Lord, we pray, that maintaining. Preserve the little remnant in the earth, in these islands where thou hast placed us. Preserve the church. Overrule those in authority. Restrain the evil. Give wisdom to those in authority. In wrath, still remember mercy. We know, Lord, there must still have wrath, for there is still sin, grievous sin. There must still have wrath, for, Lord, what little repentance there has been under thy judgment. But, Lord, thou hast in wrath remembered mercy. Still remember mercy, Lord. Might it please thee to put forth thy hand and once again restrain thy judgment in the virus. Lord, we ask for deliverance from it. If it could please thee, we know we don't deserve it. And Lord, that's true of everything we've asked for tonight and everything we ever ask for. May we not ask then on the ground of mercies. We present not our petitions for our righteousnesses, but for thy mercies. In thy mercy, Lord, deliver us. Remove, Lord, this judgment, we pray. Give thy people a renewed spirit of prayer to this end. Leave us not to fatalism. Leave us not to unbelief, to believe thou canst not do it. Lord, help us to prevail with thee in the name of thy Son. We ask all in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Our next hymn is 917. Cease, O believer, cease to mourn. Return unto thy rest, return. Why should thy sorrow swell? Though deep distress thy steps attend, thy warfare shall in triumph end. With thee it shall go well. Hymn 917.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter we read, the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15. Reading verses 55, 56, and 57. First Epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 55 to 57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the Lord gave me this text as I woke this morning. I feel it is too big a text for me to preach from. I sought to get away from it, but I've not been able to. On every occasion, I'm dependent upon the Lord for that to speak. But especially on such a big text as this. What a blessing the text sets forth. A vital blessing. If you and I are to escape what we richly deserve and inherit what God has eternally covenanted to his people and Christ has purchased for them, even eternal life. The apostle's words are the theme of the redeemed in heaven, and they are the theme of the redeemed on earth when the Lord fulfills that part of the text which says, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. There was a little token in the first hymn, I prayed for it. Newton said, and what a godly man he was, we believe he's entered into this. No. But he said in his hymn, and victory hangs in doubtful scale. And how often it does with the Lord's people. But there are no doubts with God. When Peter was rescued by the Lord from sinking, the Lord gave him a gentle, loving rebuke. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? There was no cause in Jesus for Peter to doubt. There is no cause in God for any of us this evening to doubt. But doubt we do. Because we are such unbelievers. And that is so to the point that we cannot believe. But we must. John Duncan, affectionately known as Rabbi Duncan, said, "Let not any minister deceive you to believe you can believe of yourself." He said, "You can't, but you must." And that's God's voice, he said. And some strive against one jaw of that voice, and some strive against the other jaw of that voice. But if God has you in his voice, you are shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. The faith that Jesus is the author and the finisher of. The faith that Jesus himself had when he was here on earth. As a real man, this was an essential part of the obedience that he rendered to his Father for his people. And remember, there was no part of that obedience which was not for them. Poor unbelieving sinner tonight, look at him in his perfect faith. It was a tried faith, wasn't it? He prayed, and for a time he got no answer. But he didn't stop praying. He didn't stop trusting in his God, his Father, because he got no answer. And he prevailed. And my dear friend, that's how the poor sinner who can't believe. If Christ lived for them and died for them, they will believe. Here's the certainty. And our text speaks of nothing but certainties. That's what the whole Word of God is, from cover to cover. What a precious book it is. There's no book like it. For this book is written by God. It's a revelation of God, the revelation of God. Oh, especially, it is a revelation of him in the person of his dear Son. O death, where is thy sting? Where is thy sting? Our text tells us that death has a sting. And it tells us what that sting is. The sting of death is sin. The sting of death. Painful, unspeakably painful. Deadly. Eternally deadly, unspeakably deadly. You remember the serpents that bit the Israelites because of sin. Even in sending a serpent with a venomous bite to sting them, God was showing that the sting of death is sin. Remember, my dear friend, that many of the children of Israel died. The grace that was manifest in the remedy, the serpent lifted up, and they looked at that serpent which was the remedy. It was a sovereign remedy, not a universal remedy. All those whom God eternally appointed should be healed were healed. They were not allowed by God to die before the brazen serpent was lifted up. And Peter, by the Holy Spirit, he speaks in a similar way concerning Noah and the building of the ark. He speaks of the patience of the Lord while the ark was a preparing. Oh, and that will be seen in every one of his people. The patience of the Lord in their unregeneracy. The patience of the Lord since they're called by grace. The patience of the Lord while they are foolish and stay long in the place of breaking forth of children. The patience of the Lord when they wander, when they turn back for a time and turn to the right hand and turn to the left. But because the Lord has loved them with an everlasting love and covenanted to save them, at all times he's seeing them in his dear Son. At all times he's looking upon the face of his anointed, his dear Son. And thus he is being their shield, as the psalmist prayed it. O Lord God, our shield, look on the face of thine anointed. My dear friend, if Christ lived and died for you, you will not die until you are brought in some measure to know the blessing of this text. The Holy Spirit will bring all those whom the Father gave to his dear Son and all those whom his Son so willingly took upon him, though he knew they would cost him his life. But that bride was so precious to him. Though she in herself had no beauty of her own, no desire after him, no love to him, or the mystery of salvation by grace, he so loved his bride that he came down and took her nature into union with himself without sin. For as by man came death, by man must come also the resurrection of the dead. And my dear friend, he lived for her under the law. He breathed, and every breath he breathed was perfumed with heaven. Oh, the myrrh, the frankincense. All those blessed fragrant spices that manifest themselves in the beautiful life of Christ. Beauty is more than skin deep, my dear friend. Oh, but where shall we find beauty but in that lovely man? The chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely. The beauty is his holiness. The beauty is his mercy. The beauty is his grace. The beauty is his willingness to die. What a beautiful thing is that, wherein a person is willing to sacrifice himself for others. And my dear friend, the beauty is increased when we consider who Christ died for. For a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin. For this challenge to be sounded, then sin must have been removed from death. And that is what Christ did for his people. He removed the sting from death by bearing her sins. in his own body on the tree. My dear friend, there's no other way of dying comfortably but dying in Christ. There's no other way of you and your sins being separated and therefore you dying in peace. But as Christ took those sins himself and bore them away on the cross, O death, where is thy sting? There's that hymn, isn't there, of dear Joseph Hart's concerning the brazen serpent. And in that hymn, which is truly a paraphrase of the Blessed Spirit's word in the Word of God, he says to the sensible, dying, perishing, guilty sinner, you in this company tonight, who fear death so greatly because you are such a great sinner. You have such a dread of death. Oh, when it is brought home to your soul in any measure, when you're reminded of it, by the word, by some affliction perhaps in your body, when you're reminded of it by the sentence of the law, as the Lord writes that sentence of the law in your heart. To this one, the word of God says, look unto me. And Joseph Hart paraphrased it, look ye sinners. Yes, my dear friend, our text is not for the Pharisees. It is not for the self-righteous. It is not for those who think there's a ferry boat over the river called good works and so on. No, it's for those hell-deserving, lost, perishing sinners who can't do a thing toward their salvation, who can't of themselves breathe a desire after it, who can't of themselves pray a prayer for it, who can't of themselves repent of those sins that give death such a sting, who can't of themselves believe on him who delivers from death, who have not in themselves any love to him whom they have offended against. Look, ye sinners. What a blessed word that is. It's God's word, isn't it? Look. It was God's word to that serpent-bitten Israelite. It's God's word to every sinner smitten by sin, feeling the curse within, perishing, dying, sinking. It's that word that Elihu preaches as he mentions, as he truly preaches the gospel to the Lord's servant Job. His soul draweth near unto the grave and his life to the destroyers. Am I speaking tonight to a sinner and you feel to be right now on that slippery slope down to hell? And the slope is so slippery and you're so weak. You're so helpless you can't stop yourself sliding. If there be a messenger, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to make known unto him his uprightness, then he saith, deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom.
God didn't say, "By lie you to that poor sinner. Let's see what you can do. See if you can repent. See if you can believe. And if you can, you'll be saved." No. He simply sends his messenger, his interpreter. That's the Holy Ghost, and of course it may be, and often is, in the experience of the Lord's people, a God-anointed, God-sent servant of Jesus Christ who preaches Christ and Him crucified. "Look, ye sinners, ye that hung Him. Look how deep your sins have stung Him. Dying sinner, look and live." This text could not read what it does, as it does, if Christ had not been stung to death. If he had not undertaken to bear the sins of his people in his own body on the tree. Now what an infinite matter that is. The Lord help me. Oh, my dear friend, the Lord help me and help you in hearing. Grant you this faith. You see, when we speak of Christ bearing his people's sins, we speak of the whole sum of them. Every single one of them. That's everything they've done of themselves. Every breath we draw, we sin in. And if Christ died for you, he died for every one of those sins. Ah, but you say, "I don't know he died for me." Yes, but God, by his word, he preaches, he will have it preached, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things they cannot be justified by the law of Moses." Comes back to me, came to me also earlier, the words of Cornelius when Peter came into his house. Cornelius under the Holy Spirit and Peter under the Holy Spirit. Now are we all here present before God to hear those things commanded thee of God. And what does God command Peter to preach? To preach to Cornelius and all his house that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. How did Paul begin this chapter? "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." The gospel, when it is sent of God, when it is preached by the Holy Spirit, it is received. The Lord has the key into his people's hearts. The blessed Spirit takes of the things of Jesus and shows them to that sinner. And what do they get then? They get the victory in our text. Not in the fullness which Paul speaks of in the context here. "Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." That is at the last, at the resurrection. In the very immediate presence of the Son of God, the Son of Man in all his glory, when he raises the dead from their graves and changes the living, the bodies of the living, so that they're like his body. But in measure, every time Jesus Christ is preached into a sinner's heart, commanded of God, they get a victory. Why? Because of who Jesus is. Because of what he has done. Because of the love of the Father. Oh, my dear friend, God says concerning the salvation of his people and all that he will do for them. Not for your sakes do I this, but for my great name's sake. When the Lord delivers us from trying to get our case to the point where he can do it for our sake, of course he never could, because we will never get our case to the point where he can do it for our sake. Remember the parable the Lord Jesus told Simon the Pharisee, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Now, what is that in a soul's experience when they've got nothing to pay? That's death. That's death, my dear friend. And Paul said in this chapter, I die daily. Paul daily was in this experience of having nothing to pay. Daily he was contracting fresh guilt. Daily he was that wretched man he confesses himself to be in Romans 7. But when faith in his blessed Lord was given him, he received that full and that frank forgiveness, remission, and he frankly forgave them both. The blessed simplicity of it, my dear friend. A poor sinner coming to the one they're infinitely indebted to. And the Holy Spirit giving them faith to believe that he is able because his dear Son has made that infinite sacrifice. The leper comes, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I will be thou clean. Don't, my dear friend, let anyone deceive you to believe that you can convince yourself of anything. It was the Lord that convinced the leper that he was able. And then he went on to convince him that he was willing. If the Lord, my dear friend, if you get just for a moment, a blessed glimpse of that, the ability of Christ. Make the most of it. What is making the most of it? Get at his feet. Get at his feet like the leper did. And say, Lord, if thou wilt, even though I am as black as I am, even though I am as vile as I am, even though I have disobeyed thee as many times as I have, even though, Lord, I am a lawbreaker, a transgressor, woe is me, for I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips. But, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. By the strength of sin, the apostle means what reveals sin. You see, if sin isn't revealed, and there isn't any sin until there is a law, is there? Because sin is the transgression of the law. Paul said of his own experience, I was alive without the law once. Sin had no strength in my eye. And so he was content with all his own doings. He didn't see them as sin. If he didn't have any right thoughts of God, how could he? He was dead in trespasses and sins. One evidence of a person being quickened into life is you see sin. Sin has a strength where it had none before. What is the strength of sin? It is the law. And what is that strength in our experience? The Lord gives sin its strength to damn us. Have you felt that, my dear friend? One thing's certain, no one's going to get this victory in this text without the defeat. Oh, how many, many, many defeats the Lord's people get. But the Lord will give them at last a victory over it. Oh, my dear friend, that defeat, when the Lord convinced you of your sin, what a defeat it was. You were happy. But when the Lord convinced you of it, all that happiness was gone. You were content with your own doings. You thought you weren't doing too badly. You thought God was pleased with you. You could look at others and say, oh, that's a sinner. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they've said. Listen to what they've said. But you had that defeat, and all your righteousness was as filthy rags. That's the strength of sin. Guilty. My dear friend, this strength puts a man in that condition we read of in Jeremiah 30. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in travail? Why do I see paleness on everyone's faces? It is the time of Jacob's trouble. There's no trouble like being a sinner. There's no sting like the sting of a guilty conscience. It's so deep. It's the soul that's stung. It's the heart that's stung. And it's God's sting. My dear friend, what an awful thing. Now, another aspect of the strength which the law gives sin is in the conviction of that sin, the realization of one's inability to keep that law. As this one finds not only that they have transgressed, but they can't cease from transgressing. They have set before them in that law that which is required. And they try to do it, but the Lord brings his law in with the power of his Spirit. And they fall down and say, Lord, I've tried and I've failed. The more I strive against sin's power, I sin and stumble, but the more the strength of sin is the law. There's no question, is there? When the Lord applies his law, there's no question as to what sin is. There's no question as to whether something is a sin or not. The day in which we live, where there are these questions about what is right and what is wrong, what an evidence of the withholding of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if the Lord brings his law with the power of the Spirit, there's no question about what's right and what's wrong. When he is come, said Christ, he will convince of sin. He will reprove of sin. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. But thanks be to God. This word reminds me again of Isaiah 53. In particular, that verse that says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And then with nothing in between that and the next part, we read, and he hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And it's just the same here, isn't it? How crucifying to the flesh. How demolishing of all the self-righteousness. How demolishing of that false doctrine that says that man must do something to escape the wages of sin. As I say that, it reminds me of that word in Romans 6. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But thanks be to God. There isn't anything that requires, I use that word advisedly, for want of a better one. There isn't anything that requires more thanks than this. There isn't anything that the Lord's people will thank the Lord more than this. Because it is the greatest boon. It is the greatest blessing. My dear friend, do you have it? Have you ever entered into this? Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. It isn't that you didn't deserve it. It's that you deserve the opposite. Oh, the love of God that he should give the victory to sinners. Give it to them. And he saith, doesn't he, in that well-known Isaiah 55, ho, everyone that thirsteth. So he speaks to that one in the congregation this evening that has within them this sting. The guilty conscience, the sense that I deserve hell, the sense that I am under the wrath of God. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Thanks be to God. God the Father, for sparing not his own Son. God the Father, in his eternal mind, devising that wondrous way, the way of his grace. A people who couldn't obey him, I'll accept the obedience of my Son in their place. That people who could not put away their sins, that those people who could not overcome their sins, I will lay them on my Son, and he shall suffer for them, bleed for them, lay down his life for them. And because in laying down his life, he really put them away, he must rise from the tomb, victorious over the grave, over sin, over death, over the devil. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God the Son. You know the Lord's people They will spend eternity trying to thank the Son, but they'll never get to the end of it. Salvation's not a little matter. Eternity will be too short to utter half the praise for salvation. It's not a little matter of you tinkering away at this and that. It's the great matter of Christ dying for your sins, having obeyed the law in your place. And thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit. 'Twas He that formed for the Son that sacred humanity. 'Twas He that was upon the Son, the Lord Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, without measure, anointing Him that He might preach the gospel to the meek. 'Twas He that quickened into life, putting that life of the Son of God mysteriously and spiritually inside every child of God. 'Twas He that convinced them of their sin. It was He that gave them the defeat. When the commandment came, it was the Holy Ghost that brought it. 'Twas He that taught them to cry for mercy. 'Twas He that gave them a glimpse of it. In the preaching of the everlasting gospel, thanks be to God. How right Paul is, because of course he's inspired of the Spirit, but it's in his very heart too by the Spirit. Who is Paul and who is Apollos? He says earlier to the Corinthians, doesn't he, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. Christ and the blessed Spirit preaching Him into your heart. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. The victory that costs the Son of God so much. He gave all that He had. He gave Himself. Oh, my dear friend, another reminder of the greatness of salvation. But to the sinner here tonight, and you feel so greatly lost, the Lord turn your eye. You're trying to comprehend things, aren't you, with your natural mind. You're trying to put things right with your natural powers. You can't. You just make them worse. Giveth us the victory. The cost was Christ. He gave Himself for us. Gave His back to the smiters. Poured out His holy soul unto death. Was numbered with the transgressors. Bare the sin of many. Set His face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He says in Isaiah, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He openeth my ears morning by morning. I gave my back to the smiters and to those that plucked off their hair. Which giveth us the victory. The Spirit giving the victory. In giving faith. That's it. John says this is the victory over the world. Even our faith. God has faith to give. Because His Son believed. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told you over the years many times, haven't I? Well, that godly Scots minister said, if you come not to Christ as an unbeliever, you'll never come as a believer. my dear friend, those blessed arms of the Lord Jesus, which are the manifestation of the arms of Almighty God, one God, one pair of arms. They're strong enough, my dear friend, for every one of his church to rest in, to be completely safe in. The arms that wrought that righteousness, the arms that were transfixed on that cross, the hands on which Zion is engraved. A poor sinner, as like a child, secure arms, hangs at the mother's breast. And what does the hymn writer go on to say? Poor child, maternal love alone is that which holds thee fast. This whole text which says, O death, where is thy sting? It speaks of a matter that we poor creatures cannot touch. Death is a foe that is undefeatable. Sin is a foe that is undefeatable. The devil is a foe that is undefeatable by us. But Christ has gotten the victory. Your hardness of heart, which is undefeatable. Your unbelief, which is undefeatable. Your enmity, your worldliness, your carnality. Undefeatable. And therefore your desert of hell, which with regard to all your doings is untouchable by you. The Saviour himself hath gone into the depth of the battle. And the Holy Ghost is he that will bless you with the faith to believe it. My dear friend, there is no sinner for whom Christ lived and died, and they will die an unbeliever. No. His word is this, poor sinner here. Believe on me and banish fear. Cease from your own works, bad or good, and wash your garments in my blood. Naaman said, didn't he? I'll not go down and wash seven times. I thought he would come out to me and call on the name of his God and put his hand upon the place. Oh, to be delivered from our thoughts. You know, when we get the victory, we are delivered from all our own thoughts. God reveals a Christ to us who is infinitely greater than all our thoughts. He gives us a victory in a way that is completely opposite to all our thoughts. We were getting worse and worse, and we thought there's only one way this can end. The way I've been dreading for a long time. Hell. But no. He turneth man to destruction and saith, return, ye children of men. Cease from your own works. Those works you thought were going to take you to heaven, they never can. They'll take you down to hell. But oh, child of God, God is in control. Thou shalt in me believe. You know, I often say this. I said it yesterday evening. Death, the actual our an article of death, and of course, in the case of a person that is gradually by God brought down, there's an increasing demonstration by God of our utter and complete weakness, isn't there? But that's really how it's been all our life. It's just that God, by putting his hand upon us in that way that will take us to the separation of the body and the soul, is bringing it so starkly to view. But what will the child of God find then? Remember how I spoke just now about the sinner in the Lord's spiritual dealings with them in their life? It was when they had no strength at all, God intervened and made his grace abound. And will he not do? He will. He will do it when they come down to the end. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's all in my hand. Casting all your care upon him. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. Peace through the cross. That's the peace of God that passeth all understandings, should keep your heart. When you have that peace given unto you, spoken into you, he giveth us the victory by speaking the victory to us. He giveth us the victory by assuring us that we are his. He giveth us a victory, speaking forgiveness, revealing himself in all his mercy and in all his grace. He giveth us the victory. The poor prayers, he abundantly answers. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Roland Wheatley will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. John Rosier on Thursday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 714. Why so cast down, dejected soul? A loving Christ is near. Thy broken bones he can make whole, and drooping spirit cheer. 714.
Do bless to us thy word. Oh, may we have it written on our hearts by thee. May we be favoured. May each of thy people be favoured with our given victory in life and in death. Oh, we have nothing to plead, Lord, but thy mercy, that blood that thou didst so freely shed. And we need nothing more. Forgive all amiss in our attempts. Raise in power what is sown in such weakness. Watch over and keep us. Be with us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.